Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. All right, welcome to the Flower Farmer Forum webinar on managing burnout as a flower farmer. We do these pretty much every quarter. We do a mini series, like a three-part episode, and then we end up doing a live Q&A where people can ask questions and we dig a little bit deeper. Now, these webinars are best done over Zoom, so you can actually see when I'm sharing my computer screen, but we do go ahead and we send them to the podcast when we're done. So today's webinar is on some actual tips that I have found helpful when it comes to my flower farm. So if you've been following me for a little while, you know that I run Sunny Mary Meadow LLC, and I've been saying 5 years, but really it's 4 years, but it's five seasons, because season one to season two is 1 year. And so really I did some math today with how I think I'm going to project it. And my farm has 28 times my sales in 4 years. And my sales this year compared to last year are up slightly, but my expenses are down quite a bit. And I had 3 employees this year. So my labor was up quite a bit, but all of my expenses were down otherwise. But the thing is, I realized last year at this time, I was about done. I was thinking, what the heck did I do? Quitting my job as a nurse practitioner, this is never going to be worth it. Yeah, I think it's profitable, but at what expense? Like, I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to see my friends. I don't have time for hobbies. I am, you know, killing myself. I'm going to have arthritis in my hands. This sucks. I'm just reactionary, and I was really sick of it. And I realized that, you know, scaling your business can mean scaling your problems. And so I want to share some actionable steps that actually work well for me, and hopefully they will work well for your farm. So tip number one is to create a standard best-selling offer. And some of these things might sound really obvious, like, duh, do that, of course. But until it really stood out to me, it's like, okay, that's what my customers need to know me for. That's what they can expect. And this way they know exactly what it is. So for me, it's a $30 bouquet. And typically, yeah, a price point is a good place to start. But really, it's more so that just that customers know it's okay. So it's a $30 bouquet. And what's nice is that's what my subscriptions are. And when I talk about my scheduling tool, the Calendly schedule for reserving bouquets, it's just good because then there's no questions. It's just, that's what it is. My bouquets are $30. Could I make a $10 bouquet? Yeah, I could. Could I make a $20 bouquet? Yeah, I could. But otherwise, it's just standard that, you know, a $30 bouquet, this is what you get of what it's in season. And then it just really helps the customers get to know what to expect when it comes to that price point, and it eliminates the emails back and forth. So yeah, that $30 bouquet, and it's simple to produce and it's popular with the customers. Now, I do subscriptions and then they have that consistent revenue. And so for me, I think that, you know, having the standard offer, it just simplifies things. And then that way, like right now, my subscriptions are going on sale and I know that my tulip bill was like $9,000. And so I'm hoping to cover that tulip bill with the cost of, you know, a good chunk of the subscriptions. And then I know that the rest of them are profit. And then I can make that bill. But just having that standard best-selling product. Now, tip two, it's really similar to tip one, but I decided to make it its own tip. And that is that custom orders have a minimum. And for me, in my business, what has worked well for me is custom orders are a minimum of $50. If they're like, I want all pink, I want all dahlias, I want, XYZ, something above and beyond what is normal and standard, that I'm going to have to communicate to my team or take notes or take extra time. Custom orders start at $50. And it's a bigger bouquet. It's a, it comes in a vase. It's not just, a bundle of $30 worth of flowers, but I needed to set those clear boundaries so that when people send me a message, and I don't feel guilty about that anymore because I've found that confidence. And the number one thing that I can tell people when it comes to pricing with confidence is knowing what you offer. And then it's not sales. It's just, these are the facts. This is what that's valued at. This is what it's worth. And they're asking you for a price and you're giving it to them. It's not, you're not trying to sell them on something bigger, but I explain, yep, custom orders start at $50. I can't make a custom bouquet for $30. Otherwise, you can just get one of our standard market bouquets. And I'm going to share, like, tips three and four are really gonna kind of tie into this, but just having that, saving that time and energy with those clear expectations up front can feel weird because then everyone will be like, well, her bouquets are $50. No, they're not. Her bouquets are $30. But if you want something custom, fancy, whatever, $50. And the thing is, they're not going to get that anywhere else. So then we don't have to feel bad about that. I'm going to go off on a brief tangent because you guys know I like to do that. But I recorded an episode today that's coming out in a couple weeks about the benefits of locally grown flowers and practicing how we can communicate that to customers. And they have all of these benefits and all of these things. And notice that cheap doesn't have to be one of them. We're giving customers all these reasons, and then we still feel like, oh, and they're cheaper. No, they're not. They don't need to be. Like, we'll talk about that. We need to elevate the industry. We need to talk about those expectations, why our dahlias and Lysianthus and snapdragons or whatever are premium than the ones that they get from the florist because they're not as old. But just having that confidence in knowing what you're offering. So tip number three was definitely, the number one game changer for us. And I streamlined everything with a communication tool this year. And I think that for me, even if whether you have a team or not, even if you have volunteers, even if it's just you, even if you are wearing all the hats, I saw a reel on Instagram the other day of a small business owner, and it was the song, where everyone's waving on Full House, and she's like, I'm the janitor, I'm the salesperson, I'm the landscaper, and it's, got everything. And sometimes we feel that way, but having something streamlined, whether you have outside help or you're doing it all yourself, can really help with that. So I'm going to show you what we did this year and our Google Doc. Now, it's not perfect because I've
Sorry.
changed a few things. This is the Google Doc. This is the communication tool that we used this season. Now, I didn't think, so we deleted it as we went because it's a Google Doc, it's a running form. But luckily, I thought about this webinar. I'm like, oh, don't delete them all. So I always have the deliveries on here because we have some standard delivery bouquets. And then every single date has a day on here. And so I have access to this. Brittany and Lydia that work here have access to this. And then Tina has access to this. And so I go through and I edit it, but we have subscriptions. And we know that just regular bouquets are a $30 bouquet because, like I talked about at the beginning, having that standard offer or that normal bestseller, it just simplifies everything because it doesn't matter. It's just a $30 bouquet. And we all know what that means. We all know what that looks like. We all know how many ingredients are in it. And it just works well. So then the subscriptions, that's a $30 bouquet. The one exception is that the deliveries are actually a $60 bouquet, or sorry, a $50 bouquet plus $10 delivery is what we do. And so that's a delivery subscription. Most of those goes to businesses. And so everyone knows that, yep, that's a $50 bouquet. That's just kind of an unwritten rule. And then the extra bouquets, which the next tip is how people order extra ones. But then we know on Monday morning, Brittany and Lydia know how many bouquets to make. If we're having a stem bar at the farm, I usually say roughly how many people to plan for. And then in green is any wholesale order, and in yellow is a wedding. And so start picking for Taylor's flowers. Okay. So we know that this is what my friend Taylor is buying from, her wholesale order on Wednesday. And so when we're picking flowers, we know that, okay, she wants, you know, these colors of amaranth. So try not to put those in the subscriptions on Monday and Tuesday if we can, because we need to set those custom orders aside. Because again, when you scale your business, you scale your problems. The month of September, I think I did $12,000 worth of flowers. That takes a lot of organizing. And so all of a sudden, you can't just be picking flowers and, you know, you have to recipe plan, you have to set aside those other flowers. So that helped us know, like, again, Brittany and Lydia knew that this means when it says start picking for Taylor on Monday, that means, hey, look later in the week and any of those flower colors, then we don't use that. Same thing with, you know, start picking for Friday and Saturday wedding. Start picking for Friday's wedding. It's helpful to me to write who's going to be here to work on the wedding. So Sydney is also another freelancer that comes and helps with some of the wedding work. And then I go ahead and I'll just throw a Google Doc in here. So this is every single bride for the weddings that I do has their own Google Doc. And then I'll just put that link in there. And that's got everything that we need to know. Beth's going to pick up the flowers. We're having a you pick plan for 40 people. I always write in pink for Brittany and Lydia. And then they go on here and probably sometime early August, they wrote, you know, whether or not they were available. Brittany, yes. Lydia, not available. Okay. So we put those on there and then we just continue to go through it. If someone is switching their subscription date, then they'll put that on there. So then we know. So then that's why those numbers are off. Sometimes I just delete that. Sometimes I include it. But yeah, this is just kind of the communication tool that we use. We know that, okay, 2 p.m., there was a donation of flowers to one of the schools, or I donated some flowers to a nonprofit, and I just go ahead and put them on there. Now, granted, this document is not super exciting because I, you know, it's end of season and we don't have flowers right now, but during the heat of the season, like August, September, this form was life. We needed it. That is one thing that worked really well for me, to have a communication tool like that to plan ahead. You can put a lot more on it. I started out having a lot more on it, but it just got confusing for people that didn't need that information. If it was just me, or if it was not just flower related, or if I wasn't, you know, if I was doing all of the flowers myself, I would also include marketing. I would also include other things on there for reminders, but because they're Brittany and Lydia, for example, are kind of on a need to know basis. They just need to know what's going on with the flowers. And between the two of them, they worked like 48 hours every week. It's like 26 hour days, 4 days a week. So like 24 hours. So 48 hours every week between the two of them. And so they were just like, you know, they managed it. So that is the Google Doc. And it was really helpful to streamline everything. And then the next tip that I have is to use a scheduling tool. You cannot be always available for everyone. And even if, like, I use this for coffee, I use this for meeting up with friends. And I never thought that I would be using a scheduling tool to try to have happy hour with a friend, but here we go. That's what my life has turned into. But Calendly is a really good app that I love using. And if any of you have done my Peddling Perishable Products course, if you've ever done any one-on-one coaching with me, if you've ever been on my podcast, if you've ever done the free consultation call, then you know what this looks like. But I also use it for flower pickup. Now, you can have a free Calendly account if you just have one type of item, but I like to have descriptions. And so if a bride schedules, so my 1.5 hour meetings are actually, they automatically sends them a Zoom link within it. So that just slows it down. But for my customers, I will have this little fall flowers and I'll change the name and it'll be when flowers are available. And so there's no times on here right now, but all summer long, I had Monday through Friday, and I had it that it would close off once 20 slots were filled for the day. So I knew I could take on up to 20 extra bouquets a day. And then this was just a way to reserve it. And I would have in the event details, we're frequently updating the link in real time as we have flowers available. So if a day is closed, we probably don't have flowers. Reserve a bouquet, $30 plus tax, $32.06 for self-serve pickup in the subscription room next to the mural on the farm. You don't have to come exactly at your time slot, but try to stick to it. Cash or Venmo, it literally has everything on there that they need to know. And so when someone's like, "Hey, can I get a bouquet or how do I buy flowers?" And I would just send them this link and I would send it to them on an email. I would send them to this, or I would send them this on social media, whatever it might be. And then they just reserve the bouquet and then it would automatically show up on my calendar. So some days where there's quite a few of them, and especially like in June, I used this a lot. So that's what, like, these 15 bouquets in one day, that's what all of these are. And they're just tiny little appointments, like a 5-minute appointment where, yep, they're doing it. Oh, well, that one's a podcast that rescheduled, but here's one. How many bouquets do you want? There's no limit. She wanted two. And I found that, I mean, sometimes people buy two or three, but especially during like graduation season or whatever. And this is just a really easy way. Here's this person. She reserved two bouquets and then she came at 10:30 and then she just reserved that bouquet and picked it up. And then again, I can go to my calendar. I know how many spots there are. And then I will put it over. Oh, where did that go? I will put it over on this list, and that's what that spot that says extra. So there were eight people that wanted an extra bouquet that day or whatever it might be. So it worked really well. But yeah, otherwise there's just no way that you can, you can't. I love to say that every customer is just as important as everyone else, but the fact is there's just not enough profitability to be answering the messages back and forth. The only reason that it works to do a bouquet for $30 with the nice premium stem, the only reason it's profitable is because I have streamlined it, because I do it in volume, because I don't let a lot of customization happen. And I wish, if every customer wanted to spend $100 on a bouquet and I could talk to them on the phone and get their colors that they want, but it just doesn't work that way. And so, yeah, this is what has worked well for me. Yeah, using Calendly or whatever type of tool to schedule. I just found that if I had a bouquet online that someone could just purchase, then people were just buying a bouquet and then they would message me and be like, "Can you deliver it?" That way, no money has exchanged hands yet. And if for whatever reason, because then I'm refunding them and then that comes with a fee. And then it's hard to keep track of it. Whereas this is all in one place, it's on my calendar. And then what's really nice about Calendly is it will show up, these different type of events will show up on my meetings. And so I can go to past meetings. And yeah, all of these are like a bouquet that someone reserved or, a one-to-one consult or just a mixed bunch of flowers or whatever. And then it just shows up on there and then you just can't miss it. And again, these are all above and beyond, subscriptions. Okay. So that is the scheduling tool, having something like that, because if you're always available to people, then it just doesn't work well. So try to get your customers to come when you know that you're going to be available. Tip number five, this one can be applied to so many other things within your farm, but it, to me, it just makes so much sense. So to batch that work with specific harvest days. So there are some flowers like sunflowers, tulips, peonies that need to be picked at a very, very specific time. And you're kind of at the mercy of those flowers. And if you did my should you grow this, I'm not done with all of those episodes yet, but that's something that I talk about. I remember last spring seeing so many flower farmers with their tulips, and they said, "Oh my gosh, I'm a teacher and all these flowers are going to blow up." And like, if you don't have availability to pick those tulips multiple times throughout the day, they're not going to be profitable for you. They're going to bust wide open. And so being able to, store them in the cooler long term for when you need it. And so then, oh, Amber in the chat, love the Should You Grow series. Yes, I do too. I'm excited to add more of them. They're fun to do, but there are a lot of flowers, snapdragon, status, gomphrena, celosia, that, even lisianthus for the most part, every 2 or 3 days, we go through and we pick every single stem that's ready, and then we put them in the cooler, and then we rotate things out. And then we'll use, FIFO, first in, first out. It's, an accounting term. But basically, we use the oldest stuff first, which is really only a couple days old. But we make sure to use that for subscriptions. But then we're not picking every single day on demand. So any of those flowers that can have a wider harvesting schedule, that's what we try to do. And then, batch your work on anything, whether it's, making your Instagram posts or making your social media stuff or pending email newsletters or whatever it is. It helps schedule that and optimizes the work and just really reduces your stress. So overall, those were the five tips that I had. So having a standard offer, setting those clear boundaries for your custom orders, utilizing communication tools and scheduling. So for me, that's Google Doc and Calendly, and then batching your work. So what questions do you have? And I know that often this is where the webinars get really awkward because no one asks any questions. And then I stand here and I'm like, okay, well, sounds good. Thanks. But Flower Farmer Forum is going to be January 25th in Sartell, Minnesota. We just sent out an email with the agenda. If you attended last year or if you attended the virtual version, you get 40% off through November 1st. If you have never attended and it's brand new to you, through November 15th, it is 30% off. And I am so excited. We moved it to the community center in Sartell just to try to have it a little bit more cost effective. And then next year it'll be here in my building. But we are going to do accounting 101. We're going to have a bigger presentation on cover crops. We're going to do kind of a state of the industry survey that I'm sending out to people that are attending. And it's going to be anonymous. I'm not even going to be able to see who fills it out. So you can do that on Google Forms. I'm going to do it that way and just find out like what is selling well, what is working, like how are things really going? Is this worth it? How do we continue to elevate the industry? We're going to have some presentations on really pushing the envelope of cool flowers. And I'm going to say cool flowers. I'm going to say cold flowers because here in zone four, planting stuff in the fall and trying to put mulch on it, that doesn't work. We live in a tundra. So let's talk about how we can, try to do things a little bit differently and what we need to do there to try to have flowers in June, because I want to be able to have flowers in June. And I know it's possible with high tunnels. Let's all learn from each other. And then what am I missing? There's one more that I'm missing. State of the industry, cover crops. Oh, we're going to do like a round table discussion, but it's going to be, each table will have its own topic and we're going to try to facilitate some tuber swaps and plug splitting and, any of those things. And then we have like an optional happy hour at the end of the night, because last year it was not intended to like leave anyone out or anything. And I don't think anyone was upset, but it kind of turned into some people were staying the night. And so then it was like, okay, 10 of us went out to eat. And then I was like, oh, I feel bad. We should have invited everybody, but we did invite everyone, but they didn't know we were coming. And so now we are formally doing like a optional happy hour at the end of the day. And if you want to stay an extra night with the hotel or if you're driving or whatever, but anyway, just to continue to foster that community. But yeah. What questions do you guys have about burnout? I know it's a weird it's a weird topic. I could say, do some yoga, be zen, da 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 da. But the fact is, you got to get organized. That's the best way to manage burnout. It's not. I got so truly burnt out in the healthcare field when they would tell us over and over again as providers, resiliency, resiliency, and they would clap their hands at resiliency. You're so resilient. Let's talk about resiliency. And I'm not going to do that as a flower farmer. I'm not going to become more resilient. I'm not going to become more hardy. I'm going to make this easier, because if it's not worth it, if it's not fun, if I'm working my butt off to the point where I'm crabby and I can't do the things that I love in life, I'm not going to do this for a career. Nobody is making you do this. It should be enjoyable. And so rather than like modifying me to be more resilient, how about I modify the actual work and the actual job to make sure that it's doable and it's more fun to do, and I can actually, it's sustainable in a way of it's sustainable for the people actually doing the work. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com